Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson, especially verses 13 and 14. And lifting up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. This is the text. It is the healing of the 10 lepers. And what is going on here? Some things that are pretty involved are happening aside from the healings. Aside from the healings. And by the way, the healings then takes us into the whole topic of leprosy. And with leprosy, then we learn about the law of God. Leprosy, for the younger ones, is a disease where the disease attacks the nerves, and so you lose feeling in your fingers and toes and throughout your body. And when you can't feel, then you can't tell if you've stubbed your toe or jammed your finger, and then you get injuries, infection sets in, and you begin to lose parts of your body. It's a horrible disease that is infectious and can be spread, and so those who have leprosy are pushed away from the community. In the ancient times, they had to live out by themselves, out of the city, and if they wanted to go someplace or do something and it led them into a town, they had to carry a bell and ring it and call out, unclean, 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 as they went, so everybody could get away from them. Horrible disease. And how it pictures sin to us is that sin is a disease within us and it attacks our bodies as well as our souls. And so we are sick with sin. Secondly, it dulls our senses so that we can no longer tell quite as well what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. In fact, we become insensitive to evil. And more evil things creep into life. And it is infectious, so that with this evil creeping into our lives, well, we get too close to somebody else. And if I get close to you, I'm not only bringing myself, I'm bringing sin and evil into your life. And that's the way of it. So if you know everything that is in me and all the evil that is within me, you'd go, oh, stay away. And that's what we are. Sin separates. It separates us from God, and then it separates us from each other, and it alienates. And leprosy is a very good picture of what sin is and what it does. And then the healings. Jesus comes along and he does something that you really shouldn't do and that shocked everybody around him. He actually went up and he touched the lepers so the healing could go from him to them. He comes into our world and shares our nature. Didn't back off from being one of us and joining himself to us. And his holiness comes to heal us. But, as with everything else, it's not done without a cost. When Jesus touched the lepers and healed them, when he did anything to give healing, there was a price to be paid. And the price to be paid would be measured in his own suffering, bleeding, dying, being laid in the tomb. Never forget the cost. And in doing the healing and the restoring and everything else, he brings us back to God. restores us into the family of God so that we are sons and daughters of the Father, brothers and sisters of Jesus, and then brothers and sisters of each other as God's holy people. Well, aside from all of that, there is the being sent to the priests. This is really important. He sends the lepers to the priests. And do you know what happens when he sends the lepers to the priests? It's the sacrifice of the two birds. Does anybody know what the sacrifice of the two birds is all about? Make a note if you want. Look it up. Leviticus 14. Tucked there in that book that we seldom read. There's this wonderful picture. For the one cleansed of leprosy, the priest is to go and take two live, clean birds. And then he does something which you won't see done in church. I mean, you just will not see this done in church. There's reasons why. It would make the young people kind of uneasy. It would make the old people kind of uneasy. The priest is to take one of the live, clean birds and sacrifice it. Cut its throat and gather its blood in an earthenware vessel. As he does this, there's also fresh running water and cedar wood and scarlet yarn and hyssop. And all three of those things, four of those things, are connecting to the cross of Jesus. So you know where this is heading. But he takes the one bird, gathers its blood in an earthenware vessel, and then he takes the other bird and he dips it in the blood of the bird that was killed. And then he lets it fly free. You may be saying, what? But with two questions, this all becomes very, very clear. First question, who is symbolized by the bird that is slain? That would be Jesus. Second question, who is symbolized by the bird that is dipped in the blood of the bird that was slain and then let fly free? That's us. So without the blood of Jesus marking us, there is no freedom, there is no forgiveness, there is no life, there is no heaven, there is no reconciliation with God, there is no being his people. But with the blood of Jesus marking us, we are set free from sin, from death, from hell, from the devil, free to be the people of God and free to belong to God and live forever and have heaven and all the gifts of God. But in the symbolism of the two birds, very dramatically, see that the sacrifices of the Old Testament were preaching things. Illustrations that God gave that taught the grave danger of sin and the punishment of it, and taught the wonder of forgiveness. Well, there were, over the years, not too many people healed from leprosy. And if you were a priest, you could have gone your whole career without once doing the sacrifice of the two birds. In fact, you could probably talk to your grandfather who was a priest and say, did you ever do that sacrifice? No, never did in my lifetime, my grandson. And so it went. Generation after generation until this fellow, Jesus of Nazareth, comes along. And we start hearing in the Gospels, he healed the leper and sent him to the priests. So along comes the leper, and the priest sees him coming, and he's cleansed of leprosy. Okay, time to look into the old book of how to do these sacrifices and exact directions for how to perform them. time to get two birds and do that. A little while later, Jesus heals two lepers and sends them to the priest. You know, time to get four birds. And perform the offering twice. Because you can't do it as a group thing. You have to do it for each individual. And then sometime later, Jesus sends along, well, nine of them went to the priests. Time to get 18 birds. And you're going to have to do that offering of the birds. You're going to have to do that nine times over. It's going to be a long afternoon, isn't it? But consider this. The priests are educated in what the sacrifices mean. Oh. There's lepers coming along. One, and then two, and then nine, actually, could have been 10. And the 10th one probably came along later. And what's this mean? Something's happening. Who the sacrifices are preaching about is the Christ, the Son of God, the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the buzz starts going around. Is the Christ here? Is he living among us right now? Find out later on, I believe it's Acts chapter 5. It says, and a large number of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Coming to faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the targeted evangelism. Jesus sending them to the priest to preach in a visual manner what it was all about. That was actually working, and he was sending them exactly to the place where they needed to go so that the priests could hear in a way that they would understand who Jesus is and what the message of salvation is. Now, time to take all of that and bring it into our day. And consider this. How many things had to fall into place? How many links had to be there from the time of the New Testament until your life for you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many had to the next one and the next one and the next one, generation after generation, so that the gospel message carried to your life, so that one day you would hear in a way that you would understand and understand who Jesus is. And as all of that is set in motion in the time of the New Testament, realize that Jesus knows exactly who is going to be on the receiving end of all of those sharings of the gospel. He sees you and knows you and sets in motion events that will eventually bring you into the kingdom of God. It's an absolutely amazing thing. We tried to illustrate it a little bit with the children's sermon. But then, realize that it doesn't stop there. Realize that you also are sent by Jesus. And you don't know where you're going to be sent. You don't know what the event is going to be. You don't know the day, the time, or the person, but you do know that Jesus is in the business of sending his own and gathering others into his kingdom. And some way, in some manner, an event that happens in your life and a thing that you say is going to touch another person. Now, by this, I'm at least halfway not trying to put pressure on you to go out and tell the gospel of Jesus. I'm pointing out, very simply, the reality in our lives that Jesus is going to work And you may not see and you may not understand exactly what he's done as he's done it. But realize that it's there. And if you see that opportunity or that event, first, try and be bold about it. But second, know what's happening. That it is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, who is actually working in your life through your voice, through your hands, through your prayers, and enjoy being a part of it. Because it is one of the best parts of life. Targeted evangelism. He works in our lives through the natural relationships that we have with others and calls and brings them in. But I wanted to share with you a couple of additional things. All of this relates to something in Isaiah 49, verse 2. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me like a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. Which leads to the second title for the sermon that I don't use. If we are polished arrows hidden in the quiver of God, and he is going to use us, then an actual accurate title for the sermon could be, Lord, take me out and shoot me. But I know that comes off wrong. Still, now it's going to stick in your minds. And I wanted to give you an illustration by contrast with something that doesn't target quite so well. This one I got shared, had this shared by my wife. A Minneapolis couple decided to go to Florida to thaw out during a particularly icy winter. They planned to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. Because of hectic schedules, it was difficult to coordinate the travel schedules, so the husband left Minnesota, flew to Florida on Thursday, with his wife flying down the following day. The husband checked into the hotel. There was a computer in his room, so he decided to send an email to his wife. But he accidentally left out one letter in her email address. Without realizing his error, he sent the email. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow had just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a pastor who was called home to glory following a heart attack. The widow decided to check her email, expecting messages of kindness from relatives and friends. After reading the first message, she screamed and fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, and saw the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife, subject, I've arrived, July 19, 2010. You think you know where this is going. I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you are allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and have been checked in. I've seen that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. Sure is blazing hot down here." Okay. Where it goes wrong. However, we are following Jesus Christ, who knows exactly what he is doing, exactly where to send us, exactly what situation to put us in, so that everything that has happened in our lives up to that point comes right into focus, and the door is open and the opportunity is there. And when God sets you up for something, He knows what he's doing. And once again, when that happens, be bold. And secondly, enjoy. Enjoy that God works together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.